No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Oh yeah, Degen Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? You know what time it is. It's the Degen Nation podcast, powered by the Fantasy Authority, back and better than ever? Question mark? I don't know, but it's a two-man pod that we're rocking with this year, with myself, Ryan Williams, and the Godfather himself, Kevin Steele. We will keep the tribe box. We will keep the tribe box going for our boy, for our dear friend, Mr. Matty Dickinson. He'll be joining on maybe in a couple times a year. You know, we'll try and make it fun, but, life comes at you fast. We all know it, came at us fast. That's why we're doing this for the first time in week two, Kev, right? So the season creeps up and, you know, it just goes by. And so, but we're back. We're rocking with the Degen Nation pod, Degen Nation fam. We haven't gone anywhere. We're back and ready to come at you for week two with all of our picks, all the goodness, and everything that you guys have been getting at. Again, Ryan Williams, you can find me on Twitter and X at RyanAlexander_W. I'm here with the Godfather, Kevin Steele himself, the guy that keeps the power running at the Fantasy Authority, Mr. Kevin Steele, Fantasy Route 13. Kev, how you been doing, man? How's week one for you? What's been cracking over there in those streets in KC?
Well, week one of the DFS rates was absolutely brutal. I think just went down with the ship with the, you know, the Bengals. Had a lot of Bengals stacks.
Oh yeah.
Felt good about the Dolphins, as well. Went a lot of Tyreek. You know, should have learned from last year with how poorly they played. But it was a rough week one. But that's what we always expect from week one. Week one, it's right up there with week 18, because there's just so much stuff that we don't know, and there's so much random. It of what happens. So yeah, it was pretty brutal, but we're back again. We're a forward thinking podcast and we're on to week two.
Yeah, forward thinking, that's kind of how we've always been. I feel like been doing this for, my god, what, 7 years now, 8 years now. Just crazy to think about how long the Degen Nation fam's been rocking with us, so we appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, week one is always that slate that just everybody gets excited for. You know, we down to three preseason games now instead of four. Once that regular season hits, you know, the salaries get released. Kev, I feel like it's always, you know, it's Christmas in my inbox every time, every summer. You always come in, I'm doing best ball stuff, I'm playing in the baseball MLB streets, and then I get that text from you, you know, the DK salaries have dropped, and it's like a month before, you know, the season even starts. And so people kind of forget about pricing, but it's always so soft. You know, you're looking at, you know, the teams from last week and, you know, guys like Tyreek, you know, he doesn't get there, but the Dolphins only had like what, 40 plays or something like that. And he's still in a lot of like lineups that were up at the top, you know, just because of the way that pricing is structured with some of these guys. So it makes it fun. And then week two, as we, you know, start to get into it, Kev, it's like, not much better from the standpoint of, you know, you still got a large slate. We got 12 games that we're going to talk about here, and we're going to see a situation where so many people get take lock. I mean, it's a tale as old as time, and we talk about it every year. You talked about it last week in week one, where, like, you know, so many convictions have been made. So many people are doing so much content prep and getting ready for their drafts that, like, you think you know where everything is going to go. And then we get week one and it turns everything on its face. And then we get take locked again because it's like, okay, well, we know, you know, we thought what we expected from the Jaguars. And now it's, you know, they traded Tank Bigsby and Travis Etienne's the guy. So we got to play him in these good matchups. And it's like, well, Travis Etienne's kind of been maybe the guy that we always think that he was. And like, is Daniel Jones going to be able to sustain this stuff, you know, going against opponents outside of what they were able to do against the Dolphins in week one? We knew the Dolphins were going to be a dumpster fire. And yet people are still surprised when Danny Dimes goes out there and just shreds them. You know, they joint practice with the Bears. They were upside down all offseason. So this is where it gets fun for me. I'm happy that we're doing this actually starting in week two, because I feel like we can expose some of those takes.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that, I think that at least this, for the most part, the slate sets up pretty nicely as well with some of the implied team totals that we have on this slate. I mean, last week was a dumpster fire. I think like it was like 65% of the games went under last week. Only three. Yeah. And the funniest part was there was only three games or three teams that scored 30-plus points, and they were the Jets, Steelers, and Colts. Like, it was just right. Because the Steelers and Jets game had by far the lowest total on the slate. It was like 37 points. Looked like a really gross game, and that was the one game that actually went off with
nuclear. And it goes absolutely bananas. Yeah. No, it's fun. So yeah, let's talk about this slate again. You know, DJ Nation fam, shout out for rocking with us and the loyalists who have been there. We appreciate you guys. Week two DFS week of picks is what we're going to be breaking down, and we do this here. If you're new to the pod, we appreciate you coming in. We do this all in the DraftKings slate. That's kind of where Kev and I have been playing since we started the DJ Nation podcast years ago, and that's where we've been pretty much loyal to throughout the whole time. So if you're rocking with us, you know what it's about. Follow the Fantasy Authority at FF_authority. You can get involved in the Discord that I know has been popping off since football season has been back, and that DFS channel is definitely going to be popping now that we're back in the swing of things. I see Kev shaking his head, but it's true. We're going to be back and getting the lineups built and helping you guys week in and week out.
Looks like Austin Eckler just blew his Achilles out.
Oh my God! See, Kev's watching the game, so I'm trying to help you guys out.
Well, I'm trying to keep it on the corner, you know, at the corner of my eye, and I saw somebody was on the ground. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. He just got up, but it definitely was a non-contact injury, and he was reaching for his Achilles. So.
Oh, that's just terrible. You hate to see that. Just more work for Bell coming in. We got Chris Rodriguez that's been a healthy scratch after being thought to be named the starter for the Commanders, and then, you know, with the Austin Eckler injury, we'll see what the length is for that, but it's going to be Bill season, B-I-L-L, get it right. So, but we move on to this Sunday main slate. We got 12 games on tap, and as Kev kind of alluded to, we do have a couple spots that are pretty juicy. I mean, Jacksonville and Cincinnati have already been, you know, talked about a ton. Got a good bounce back spot there for both teams to potentially have a bonanza there. Makes a fun game stack. In the late window, you got an interesting one with the Carolina Panthers and Cardinals. Everybody was on, or I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of talk was on the Carolina and Jacksonville game from week one. And now you have this matchup that's going to be indoors with the Carolina Panthers. I know people are excited to see them. We get a marquee matchup with KC and Philly, that Super Bowl rematch in the late window. afternoon window, which is going to be fun. And then another game that are two other games I feel like that are going to be sneaky, you know, potentially this Cleveland Baltimore game, which would be really interesting with Baltimore having, you know, taken that tough loss on Sunday Night Football, and then Cleveland, you know, rough loss for them as well at home against Cincinnati. And then the Chicago Detroit game, Kev, I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are on that game. That's going to be indoors. A lot of emotions going to be riding high with Ben Johnson visiting Ford Field on the opponent's sidelines, and you know, both teams coming off a tough loss there. So that's going to be a fun one. But as we do it here at the DJ Nation broadcast, break it down position by position. And we always start off with the quarterback position, Kevin. When we're looking at the slate, we're looking at these games. You know, I think right off the top, when you're seeing Josh Allen at 7-1, I just like couldn't believe that when I first opened the slate, because it's like he's going up against this Jets team. He actually hasn't played really well. Like when you just go and box score hunting in this matchup, he hasn't had too many great games against them. But Josh Allen, you know, we saw what he could do on Sunday night. If Justin Fields is able to push this on the other side, you know, it's just a price tag that is still too cheap. And we'll see this as we're breaking down these positions. You know, it's week two and the pricing is still soft for a lot of the casual players who are out there in the streets, and DraftKings trying to get, you know, as much action as possible. So they're making it really, you know, really enticing for people to be able to build lineups with, you know, a ton of the brand name players, so to speak. So Josh Allen just felt mispriced. Have to talk about him. I think he'll be super popular. In that Jacksonville-Cincinnati game, I'm going to go back to Joe Burrow. I think he's 6,600. And the offense is just so concentrated with him. You know, Chase Brown, T. Higgins, who really didn't get involved in that Cleveland game, but should have a better matchup here. And then obviously Jamar Chase and what he can do. He's only 6,600, and you can easily stack him with the pieces that go in. And the Jacksonville pieces are pretty enticing too to get in. And it might even be concentrated more on Jacksonville side with Travis Hunter expected to play more defensive snaps in this matchup. So, you know, it should be a really fun matchup for Brian Thomas Jr. And, you know, we'll talk about that when we get to the wide receiver. So really interested in Joe Burrow. I think I have to be interested in Dak Prescott this week. He's 5,900. He's going against a Giants team that, you know, really, I shouldn't even say tested. That doesn't even feel like the right word, but they just, you know, lack a lot of luster. And this Dallas Cowboys team, you know, they're coming off of that weird game to open up the season where, you know, the game gets suspended because of lightning, and they were kind of going back and forth with the Eagles. And you liked what you saw from Dak Prescott there with it being on the road and just the way that the offense was kind of clicking with them not expected to do a lot. The defense isn't supposed to be as good with all the offseason changes, but Dak at home in this home opener against this Giants team that he's had success against in the past, really, really interesting to me. I'll have to take some shots on him at this early. You know, we're doing this on Thursday, and right now I feel like I want to get some shots on the Chicago and Detroit game. I really kind of like Caleb Williams. I think he's, you know, going to be popular for a lot of people based on what we saw with his legs. But I think Jared Goff at 6,000 is really, really intriguing to me. Like this Bears defense has been banged up. You know, they played pretty well for three quarters, but, you know, they missed Kyler Gordon, they missed Jalen Johnson, they missed TJ Edwards. If this defense is still banged up at 6,000 at Ford Field, coming off of that loss to Green Bay, you know, with them still trying to, you know, take stake in the North while the Green Bay is just, you know, putting the hammer down, I think Jared Goff could be really interesting. We like playing him indoors. And then lastly, Kev, before I toss it to you, I just have to bring it up. Like we will have a 4K quarterback this week in Mac Jones. The San Francisco 49ers come out of the gate and already are dealing with injuries pretty much across the board. I'm not sure what Jawan Jennings' status is going to be, but George Kittle's on the IR. You know, McCaffrey was on the injury report in week one, making people worried. Now he's been practicing in full, but it might just be, you know, Christian McCaffrey and, you know, Ricky Pearsall just getting a ton of the work here. And, you know, we love concentration. It feels weird to talk about a 4K quarterback with the way the pricing is, because it's like, do you really need to do that on a slate like this to go to Mac Jones? But it's just interesting to talk about, because you could play, you know, a Mac CMC Pearsall stack, and still be able to get like studs in a secondary game that, like, you know, if the volume just goes all to them, it could be really enticing. So that's where I'm thinking at for quarterback as of right now. Kev, what's standing out to you on this slate and where do you want to go?
I mean, you bring up Mac Jones and it seems kind of, but I mean, I'll say at least last year, whenever he finally, you know, he started over the second half of the season, I mean, he had multiple 20 plus point games. I mean, he scored 20 against Houston, 20.7 against the Jets last. And then he had a couple 17s. I mean, and as we know, I mean, as a 4K quarterback, you don't necessarily even need him to go off. Like, if he can get you 15 to 18 range at that price tag, I mean, he's definitely in play. And then you're talking about, you know, the matchup that they're getting against the Saints. It's not like they're going up against somebody that you're afraid of, like, oh, he's not going to be able to do a whole lot against. And so, I mean, it's definitely possible that maybe they just don't throw the ball as much and they just lean on Christian McCaffrey in this running game. But, you know, we have at least seen Mac Jones be a capable DFS quarterback. So, like, he's not a crazy play. Like, if there's other quarterbacks we see this, I'm like, okay, it's kind of ridiculous. But on this one, like, it definitely doesn't feel that way with this situation. So I don't hate it, but I think, you know, this is a rare slate where we're going to get like literally all four of the top four quarterbacks that you really want to play in DFS on it, and none of them are priced appropriately. Like, none of them. Like you already mentioned, Josh Allen. I mean, Jalen Hurts at 6,800 is laughable. 7K Lamar Jackson against Cleveland. Like, all four of these quarterbacks, I think I want to have action on, because all of these dudes can break the slate. Like, this matchup against the Chiefs, yeah, I have concerns with. And I will say the one thing the Chiefs still have done a very good job at is limiting the run. Even at the Super Bowl last year when they got the doors blown off of them by the Eagles, I mean, Saquon wasn't really the reason. I think he had like 50 yards rushing. And so I will say it's going to be consolidated target share as well, because it sounds like Dallas Goddard's going to miss. And that means, you know, it's down to A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. Now, when that happens, good things happen. And I still think they want to throw the ball more than what they did last week. And so, on the road, so Jalen Hurts at 6,800, like, a great play. And I think now it makes it a little bit easier to, if you want to stack him with, you know, A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith. I think it's easier now with Dallas Goedert likely going to be out for that game. I think the biggest question marks are going to be, like, going back to some of the guys that people were high on last week that people are going to be soured away from. Like, can Tua bounce back and this Dolphins offense bounce back at home? You know, they were absolutely boat raced. They were embarrassed. It was just a really brutal spot. Most people aren't going to want to go back to that game or back to that spot. But I'll say, I mean, while everybody else has soured on them, Vegas hasn't. I mean, they still have one of the higher implied team totals for the week in this spot. The point total has been bet up, or it's at opened at 45.5. It's still a healthy game total here with the Patriots. And I also don't mind the other side. I mean, the Dolphins secondary is absolutely dreadful. It is absolutely terrible. And so Drake May, I think, is also a cheap quarterback option here at 5,200. But I think him and Tua, I think, are both in play in this spot. And I just don't think people are going to want to play this game because of what happened last week with this offense. Yeah. And then Justin Fields at 5,700. I don't know what we're doing after what he did last week. Like, can we at least make him like mid 6Ks but 5,700, you know, phenomenal last week. Actually looked pretty solid as a thrower last week, but still two rushing touchdowns. He could break a slate with, you know, he has this slate breaking upside. 5,700. It's very easy to stack if you want to stack him with Garrett Wilson. There's not a whole lot else there. It's very consolidated target share, so it's an easier spot to stack. So I think he's the other quarterback that's just definitely in play. And I don't think it can't be much longer that they're going to keep him at this price, because $5,700 is egregious for Justin Fields.
Yeah, no, it's that is crazy. And we saw, you know, Justin Fields be on the freaking milli, you know, takedown naked because of what he's able to do with the rushing upside. He's been doing this for however many years now, and people still just don't want to click his name for whatever reason. But he, you know, he's a definition of what like the Konami code quarterback like is. I mean, the dude can just do it all. And like you said, Kev, it kind of takes what we know from a DFS standpoint, like that's what makes it hard, I feel like, for people to click him, because it's like, okay, when you pick that quarterback, you pick them with the stacking partner, at least one, right? And then you pair them with the bring back. Like, that's just like we talk about DFS being a puzzle, and that's the pieces to the puzzle that like we've been so accustomed to. But with Justin Fields, it's like he may need one. He may not. Like, he may just do it all on the ground. And, you know, he could throw a touchdown to somebody, but it might not even matter because of where the equity of his points come from. So definitely like that call out from you. And I do somewhat agree. Like, I feel like the leverage play in that New England-Miami game is to go back to the Miami well. Because I feel like a lot of, you know, the secondary for the Dolphins is bad, Kev. Like, so yeah, but they might, you know, that might lead more people to New England. But on that other side, like, we know what Miami wants to do. And again, like, the pace just wasn't there for them in that first game. If they are able to get some more plays, and we'll see what happens with this Tyreek Hill investigation and whatever, and he's checked out of games, but like, still got Devon Achane, still got Jalen Waddle, like, and there's no Darren Waller now, you know, potentially. So like, you know, concentration of targets there, we know too, is going to sling it. So I like that call out as well. I think that could be a lot of fun. I think, yeah, you hit it on the head. Like, quarterback is definitely, I feel, you know, it's one of the one position I feel like where, you know, ownership usually gets spread out. There's not really like a popular quarterback that's like going to be crazy. But if this were a different, say if we were talking about like week 9, maybe, you know, that Mac Jones play at 4K, I feel like would do a lot for people to be able to get some stuff in their lineups. Is there any other like spot that you wanted to like touch on here, Kev, before we moved on? I mean, Lamar's in a pretty decent spot as well too. He's 7K going against that Cleveland team. Like, we talk about a quarterback who could really break to say, I mean, we saw what he, you know, what happened on Sunday. It's like, man, could Lamar really be able to do this, you know, all season after the MVP campaign he just put on? But like, you know, it's him and Derrick Henry, and like, that's where this offense is just concentrated to. It's just, you know, where are the points going to come from? But he's another one where I'm like looking at him and like, this could just go one way to make Sunday really bad for me if I don't have Lamar exposure.
Well, I mean, of course. I mean, that's kind of what I'm talking about. So I think the more interesting question is how would you rank these top four quarterbacks? Because I think they're all in play. How would you rank them in level of like wanting to play them?
Yeah, I honestly, you know, it's interesting that you brought up Jalen Hurts, because like, he would have been four for me. And he still might be, you know. I think you're the KC guy, right? You live right there, you watch this team all the time. This defense is way better than, you know, they put out there, and we saw that he, you know, can do it all. I think Saquon's going to be limited this year based on the usage that he had. So I get the play, but I'm really concerned about how this offense looks when they're not able to move the ball through the air. Like, Jalen's always going to have that rushing upside, but like, if he can't get on the same page with his receivers, which we saw this in the regular season, you know, not too long ago, and they were just able to right the ship because Saquon went God mode and Jalen put the team on his back. And so it didn't matter that, you know, they weren't able to find these receivers. But if it becomes tough sledding for them to be able to move the ball on the ground and they're not connecting, that's what makes me worried. So I feel like I have him third. I think, you know, it's tough to put Burrow in there because of the only, you know, he's only getting points through the air, but we've seen Cincinnati break slates so many times. So, you know, with Josh Allen struggling with the Jets historically, I'm willing to put him probably two. I think I trust Lamar a little bit more. But yeah, I think Lamar's probably, Lamar would probably be one for me if salary wasn't included, and then Burrow, Allen, then Hurts.
Yeah, the only concern with that, the Josh Allen, is just, you know, can the Jets push them to have to open the offense up and have to get more aggressive like we saw last week? Because when they do that, Josh Allen goes out and scores 41. Right. I think I probably agree. I think I probably put Lamar one, Burrow two, but it's so tough. I feel like I can make a case for all four. You know what? Actually, no, I'm going to go. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put Burrow at one, Hurts at 2, Lamar Jackson at 3, Josh Allen at 4. Just okay. It's all very close. Like I like all four of these quarterbacks, and I will probably have exposure to probably all four of them. But I just feel like Burrow's, they're going to bounce back. I think this is a great spot to bounce back with. Historically, Burrow week one has been terrible. Like he has never, in the last 3 years, he has not scored over 8 DK points in any one crazy. Of those games. And so he just always struggled to start the year. Cleveland has always played them really, really well, has got their number. Not that they win every one of them, but they typically have these low-scoring shootout-type games. And so I know it seems a little bit crazy, but I think Burrow bounces back against Jacksonville here at home. And so I would probably go Burrow 1. And I feel like this is the game has enough here to probably really shoot out. I have my reservations that Cleveland – I know Cleveland played, you know, their offense was decent last week, 290 passing yards, you know, last week for Joe Flacco, but that was against Cincinnati's defense. I don't see Baltimore allowing this. And I just feel like that there's probably a better scenario that doesn't happen. And Derrick Henry just kind of runs wild on this team. And Lamar definitely can still get his, but maybe it's not a nuclear spot that you had to have him at his price. And so I think I would go Burrow 1, Hurts 2, Allen 3, Lamar Jackson 4. But again, it's all really close. Like it's not like a wide gap between any of them.
Yeah, I hear you. No, makes sense. Makes sense to me. Well, when we're talking about these running quarterbacks, Kev, we got to talk about, you know, the running backs that go along with them. So like the running back pricing is where I thought, you know, DK kind of got it right on the top. We got Derrick Henry coming in at 8-2, you know, Saquon's at 8. McCaffrey feels still too cheap at 75K, but, you know, being the third price behind those guys, I'm not going to be too mad about it. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get a ton of ownership this week. He's 7,400. The way that he was used in this Green Bay game, the matchup against the Bears, it just, you know, screams out on paper for him to be, you know, the high-owned guy. When we get into the 6K range, I think, you know, this is where – I'll probably be spending the most of my money. I actually love the leverage from that New England and Miami game of going to the running backs in that game. Achane's just, you know, he's right back into what we saw from last year, just being the catalyst of this offense. So much work going to him, and especially, you know, with all the drama that surrounds that wide receiver group, like, I just feel like Achane's just going to be in for a year and one that Tua can trust. He's 6,900. Love this matchup for him. And then, you know, going to Travion Henderson, who's only 5,500 in this matchup against Miami, like Vrabel after the game said it, like they need to switch things up. They need to, you know, figure out how to get their best players the ball and how to change things. And I think that starts with getting the ball in Travion Henderson's hands more. I mean, they tried to run the two-headed monster with him and Ramondre Stevenson, and Stevenson just doesn't look like he's got that juice anymore. This is a guy who they invested high draft capital in Travion Henderson, and this could be his, you know, his breakout spot week two against Miami, who, you know, they didn't have time to let, you know, Jonathan Taylor really take off because Daniel Jones was able to do so much to him. But I feel like Travion's in for a big week. So I like both of those running backs in that game. Love Chase Brown at 6,800. I think he's a fine way to get exposure to this Jacksonville-Cincinnati game if you don't want to play Burrow. And even if you do want to play Burrow, I think bringing him along for the ride is a lot of fun. You know, in the cheap running back range, I just don't know how cheap I'll go. I really just like that Henderson play in the 5K range, and then not much else because of where this 6K range, you know, and even 7K with McCaffrey being there. I mean, I'm gonna have McCaffrey exposure. There's the offense is too concentrated, and the work that he's getting is just too heavily to not have him. And I do like Gibbs as well too. I mean, these pass catching backs who are in the 7K and 6K range, Kev, just can, you know, all these guys have a path to 30 points, and I just don't know what some of these cheap guys have to offer, and if we'll need that salary relief for them. I think, you know, the one guy who I always have a conundrum with is Alvin Kamara. He's 6,100. I think the Saints offense is, you know, I don't think they're good by any means. And obviously, like, if they had a better quarterback, I think it would be really fun to see what Kellen Moore is able to do with this team, because they were scheming up a lot of good looks for their skill players. I think Kamara could be in for a big year going against San Fran this week, even though it's at home. I don't know if I have to do it, but I'll probably live in this mid-range here and try and take some chances on these pass catching backs. I'll go down probably as far as Travion Henderson. And then really call it a day. I really want to condense my running back pool this week. How are you looking at it?
Yeah, I think it starts with Christian McCaffrey. I mean, 7,500. And we saw how he was utilized last week. Absolute, you know, monster here. And, you know, now that, you know, you don't have George Kittle, and I think Juwan Jennings plays, but, you know, the usage is what was super encouraging. And at 7,500, it's just ridiculous. But 10 targets last week, 22 carries. 32 total touches. He had a 31% target share within the offense. Like, looked incredible last week. Ran 75% of the routes. So, like, Christian McCaffrey is back to being that dude. And it's a great matchup against the Saints. And so, like, there's no way. Like, I will have a ton. I'm not going to say he's a lock button play, but he's pretty close to it at 7,500. Like, Christian McCaffrey can absolutely break this slate. He didn't score a touchdown last week, or else I think people would be even more excited about him. But everything screams that, and just a little nugget here too. Mac Jones, in the games that he started, he is top five among all active quarterbacks and check down rate to running backs. So obviously that spells really well for Christian McCaffrey. And so Christian McCaffrey, easy, easy click at $7,500. And then I think James Conner, I don't know if you talked about him, but James Conner, 6,600. You get the nut matchup against the Panthers. The Panthers last year were absolutely fucking terrible against running backs, and then they just come right out this year. You know, you're always wondering, our team's going to turn it around, maybe make some changes there where they're not so poor. But no, they went out and let Travis Etienne rack up 170 total yards against them last week. And so this is just a great spot. Now, the only difference with James Conner, I will say, is that, you know, last year he was more of a 70-75% opportunity guy, where it all of a sudden shifts this past week against the Saints, where he actually only handled 60% of the touches, and Trey Benson came in and handled 40% of the touches, but he still got all of the high value touches inside the red zone. He was still the goal line back. And so I love this spot for James Conner at only 6,600. He was also involved in the passing game. You brought up Alvin Kamara. I don't have any interest, and here's why. The main reason is that the biggest concern I had for Alvin Kamara coming into this season was Kellen Moore and his usage of running backs in the passing game, which he is historically not targeted running backs in his schemes. And we saw it last week. It was only two targets for Alvin Kamara last week. And that is a big red flag for somebody that lives and dies by his pass catching usage. And so if that's going to continue, I just can't with Alvin Kamara. I know he's 6,100. It's not a terrible price tag for him. I think if you want to take a gamble on him, like, I'm not going to hate you for it. But I just, at the price, I think there's better running backs that are around him that I just can't really get there with Alvin Kamara, because it looks like this is what we're heading towards, where he's just not going to be as involved in the passing game. So I'm not as excited about it. I think some other, like, interesting plays, Javonte Williams, last week was a true bell cow in that backfield. He played 80% of the snaps, 79% of the rush attempts, 71% route share, and nearly a 10% target share. He also received 5 of the 6 touches inside the red zone as well. So that is also a big plus for him. A better matchup this week against the Giants. He's only 5,800. I think Travis Etienne is 100% in play at 5,700. Travis Etienne last week, it was hilarious because, like, all offseason, the big discussion was how he was going to get traded, and he was the odd man out, and he wasn't going to be involved in this offense. And yet he comes out and he handles the majority of the touches in the backfield. He was a true bell cow last week and, you know, scored over 20 DK points. He had 18 carries in that offense, 140 rushing yards in that game. Against the Panthers, and now we get a matchup against the Bengals, who defense is not good at all. not a defense that we should be threatened by with this. So, yeah, I mean, they last year they allowed the 10th most DK points to running back. So Travis Etienne is incredibly too cheap with the usage that he's going to receive here in this backfield. And so I think both of those guys in the 5K range are 100% in play, and I want to have some exposure to. I think past that, like, I don't think anybody below that. Like, I guess if you wanted to, you could try to make an argument for, like, a Tyrone Tracy, who also is 5,300. But, you know, and his usage last week was what you want to see. He was still the workhorse, 70% of the opportunities last week for him. But the offense looked terrible. But he played 72% of the snaps, almost 70% of the rush attempts. And he ran a route on 26 of the 45 dropbacks last week with a 13% target share, which is all strong usage. But I don't know how much I love this offense right now. With I think once Jackson Dart actually takes over, this offense could be a lot of fun. But right now, yeah, I'm not as excited about it. And I just don't think with how cheap pricing is, you don't really need to get there. But I just kind of wanted to point out his usage there. And I think maybe if you wanted to, maybe Dylan Sampson, because how involved he was last week in the passing game. He received 8 targets last week. And I don't think Judkins plays this week, so it's going to be very similar. I don't think you're going to be able to run the ball against them, but he's the clear pass-catching back here. And in a full PPR site like DraftKings, you know, $5,200 Dylan Sampson, I think you probably could do worse there. But, you know, for the lower-end guys. But for the top-end, I'm gonna load up. And I like Derrick Henry, too. I think Derrick Henry's in play. The only stuff that ever worries me about him is he's so touchdown-dependent. If he doesn't score multiple touchdowns, he's not going to be in the optimal lineup at $8,200. So I think that's kind of the difference between him, where I don't think you necessarily have to get there. I think it's a good spot. But for me, it's Christian McCaffrey. I really love Jahmyr Gibbs. Devon Achane is a great play. And then I drop down a little bit further to Connor. And then I'm going to drop down probably into that 4K range. But I did want to ask you, when it comes to Breece Hall, what are your thoughts on him? Because last week, again, kind of the situation where everybody was like, oh, it's going to be a true committee, this is how it's going to go, and that's exactly not what it was at all. He actually had 23 touches to 6 of Braylon Allen, and he also received a 19% target share, which is crazy. But the Bills, I mean, going back to last year, I mean, the Bills were terrible against the run last year, allowed the 5th most DK points, and then they come out this in week 1 and get absolutely gashed by Derrick Henry. Now, obviously, Derrick Henry's, you know, Derrick Henry, but still showed no ability to really stop the run here. And so Breece Hall, I think, is kind of the other one, 6,200. But what is your thoughts about him?
Yeah, I mean, he's an interesting one because I feel like his ceiling is capped with the work that Justin gets. You know, it's like, yeah, he put up 19.5 last week without any touchdowns. He got 100 yards on the ground, though, to be able to hit that bonus. Like, if Justin Fields is getting those touchdowns in the red zone, it's still left to be unseen, but you're right. Like, this matchup could be pretty juicy on paper. And, you know, he's involved. I mean, I love seeing the 4 targets from him on a site like DK. I think, you know, if you're playing Josh Allen, I think the play is to, you know, have Breece Hall in there because, you know, you need the Jets to be able to push him. And if you're playing Josh Allen, okay, so the touchdowns don't go to Fields. You want those to go to Breece Hall. So I think that's your leverage play there. I think it also could possibly be in play where you pair Justin Fields and Breece Hall together and don't take a pass catcher and just hope that these, you know, touchdowns come on the ground because of what we saw in week 1. I like the usage because I have a ton of Breece Hall in best ball and in redraft because I was just, you know, excited about this offense. And I think people, you know, we talk about this all the time. I mean, we kind of don't see it with Josh Allen because James Cook doesn't really do it, but like you have Lamar and Derrick Henry, like both of these guys can pop. Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley, both of these guys can pop. Like Fields, and you know, when Fields was with the Bears and their run game was able to get going, like the rushing quarterbacks can help these running backs get more work and equity. So we could be seeing this with Justin Fields and Breece Hall both be able to pop. I think it's one thing to monitor, and I probably will have some Breece Hall exposure on Josh Allen teams, but it's probably only going to be in that scenario.
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as the rest of the running backs are concerned, I mean, I don't really have much, you know. I mean, I think the other one maybe, like, you could tell a story about was, like, a Tony Pollard at $5,900 just because usage is definitely there. Yeah. But I don't really necessarily love the matchup against the Rams either. So I, and like I said, like with having like Javonte and Travis Etienne that are cheaper than he is, like I feel, I probably feel a little bit better. I know you brought up Travion Henderson. It's just the only thing with him is that like his usage last week, like, and I don't know if they're ever going to give him like a true workhorse role in the backfield, which sucks because he is super explosive. Ramondre Stevenson is not it, but like last week, a 47% opportunity share, only 5 carries, but was targeted 6 times. They were also trailing a lot in that game for most of that game to the Raiders. And but he did see a 13% target share. Like, I think he's an interesting guy. And I, there's definitely going to be weeks this year where I think that you're going to need to have him because how explosive he is at, you know, at running back. But I just don't know.
Yeah, it could be this week.
It very well could be. But like, I just don't know. Like, he's a tougher player to trust because he's not going to see the type of workload. Like, he needs to run like super efficient, like Devon Achane did, like his rookie year. Like, that's kind of what you're going to be needing from him to meet value.
Yeah, well, I mean, we only have 1 week of a sample size, right? So, like, what if they, you know, they want to be better and they say Travion's the guy and Ramondre comes out and fumbles, like we've seen, you know, how many times in the past? Like, Vrabel's new to this team, like he could just be like, "Yo, that's it." Like, I was in Tennessee, like I know what it's like when we have a lead back and we drafted Travion Henderson for this reason. Like, this is my guy. Ramondre's not my guy. It could be this week. So I definitely want to be ahead of that before, you know, it becomes a play. And then he's up and priced in the 6K range because Ramondre's just out. I mean, I don't know. I would hate that because I kind of have some shares of Ramondre because I've liked him over time, but he's tough, man. He's tough to trust and he could just be on the outskirts because this regime that's for the Patriots isn't, you know, he's not a part of that. So Travion is definitely, you know, and this is a good matchup too, Kev, as you're alluding to, like if he's going to see, you know, 6 targets in a game that they're trailing, you know, to who are they playing in week one? I'm going to forget it. The Raiders. Then like what's going to happen with, you know, in Miami where this is the best time to be playing in Miami from, you know, the weather standpoint. And it's going to be interesting. So I love him in game stacks, I think, of that game as we were alluding to. I think that could be fun. I'm glad you brought up the other, you know, 5K running backs and Javonte Williams and Travis Etienne, because I think those guys make a ton of sense. Javonte probably more so, you know, as a one-off play. I think I'd like Etienne a little bit more with some pieces from Cincinnati. But yeah, the uses that Javonte seeing was just absolutely incredible. So he's definitely in play. But these running backs at the top are really going to be, you know, where I start my lineups with, from, you know, Christian McCaffrey to Chase Brown.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You know, that's really going to be those four running backs that are priced in that range are going to be hard for me to get away from. McCaffrey, Gibbs, Achane, and Brown. Let's talk about wide receiver, Kev, and wide receiver gets fun too. I just can't believe some of the pricing on these guys. Like, it's just pretty insane. I mean, you got Jamar Chase at 8-1. All right, yeah, that's fair, I guess. Even then, still feels a little bit low. But then CeeDee Lamb's at 7,800, like saw with his usage, you know, if his usage tracks to what it was in week one and what we've seen from, you know, MVP Dak in a couple years ago, or MVP race Dak, I should say, being in the hunt, then like CeeDee Lamb's in for a stellar year. Puka Nacua's price, like this dude, it makes no sense, Kev. Like, there's no Cooper Kupp now, and we, you know, even with Cooper Kupp around, I feel like we have enough of a sample size to see that, like, they just scheme up so many plays to get this dude the freaking ball. It's absolutely ridiculous. And, like, him being 7,600 is just – it's absolutely mispriced. Like, I get it because of who the guys are ahead of him from that standpoint of, like, all right, are we – you know, we can't price him higher because we have Chase at 8-1, so I guess he's got to be 7-6. But, like, if he's going to be doing what he's been doing all along, I mean, this dude is guaranteed 7 to 8 targets a game. Like, it's not even a joke at this point. Like, he just is so much a catalyst of what this offense can do. And Matt Stafford is the, you know, elevator of wide receivers, right? And has been for so long. And it's like the Puka Nacua show now with the way that the offense is set up. So Puka Nacua, like, is just, he's kind of almost skeleton key territory for me, where, like, he just does so much for your lineups and he's not cost prohibitive. To be able to have exposure to him, I think, is great. I just, you know, I feel like he's going to be like 8.5 or like 9K before the season's up, the way that his usage is going. So I just had to talk about that. There's a lot of guys that I like in this range. I think Puka for me, maybe Hollywood Brown, although it feels a little bit thin. I know he'll be super popular at 5,200 with the way that offense is, but, like, he just needs so much work to pop off that I don't know that I'll play him solo. But I think, you know, Puka's a guy I can play solo, potentially, you know, a guy like Ricky Pearsall with George Kittle being out. And other than that, I'm really going to be looking to stack games with some of these wide receivers. And, you know, the games that I'm really into the Cincinnati Jacksonville game. So I'm going to have Chase Higgins exposure. I'm going to have BTJ exposure a ton, especially if we're going to lose snaps from Travis Hunter on defensive side. I really, you know, like getting exposure potentially to Miami pass catchers once we get some clarity on what's going on there. I think could be a lot of fun game stacks. I'm going to be back to the well with George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb on Dak teams. I would play Hollywood Brown, but I'd want to be in a game stack there. So probably on like a Hurts team with a bring back from him is where I could get interest from. The New Orleans guys are pretty interesting to me, the way that things broke out. Like, Juwan Johnson's going to be so popular. We'll talk about it at tight end. But, like, Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed are, you know, were able to get some work in that game. Shaheed saw 9 targets. Chris Olave saw 12 targets. Like I said, this Kellen Moore offense can really do some things, and the work's got to go somewhere. So I could definitely be interested in those guys outside of San Fran stacks solo. And really, to me, you know, like, Kev, I'm trying to just condense my pools a lot this year. So I'm looking for guys that I can play as one-offs, and then I'm looking for guys in game stacks. I do think that there's really merit to having, you know, wide receivers in that Chicago Detroit game just as minis, you know, not like a guy like St. Brown, because I feel like if he's getting there, I really want Jared Goff. But I think Jameson Williams is definitely in play at 5,700 solo, the way that DJ Moore was utilized, and he's only 5,600, could be really fun. I'll definitely be looking to play around that game. What are you doing this week at wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, I think that outside of the top price guys, I think Devonta Smith is a phenomenal spot, $5,600. If you look at the games without Dallas Goedert, Last year they played 8 games without him. He had a knee injury last year, and Brown out targeted him by about 10 targets. But their stat lines were very similar. Devonta Smith had 41 catches, 551 yards, 7 touchdowns, averaged over 15 DK points. And then Brown was right there with them. A.J. Brown, 41, 611, and 5 touchdowns there. So I just think at the price that he is right now, Devonta Smith at 5,600, it's just incredibly too cheap, I think, for the likely. And we saw last week, like, the Chiefs secondary really struggled. We saw Quentin Johnson get there, score 2 touchdowns. We saw, you know, Keenan Allen score a touchdown there. Ladd McConkey had a solid game. So the Chiefs secondary right now is in a little bit of a mess. Now the question is going to be, I know both these guys have been kind of banged up a little bit heading in from camp and preseason. And, you know, there's been some concern about, like, A.J. Brown, who couldn't separate at all or anything like that. But I think with, you know, this extra time off that they were able to get, I do think that both of these guys should be okay. But, and both of them are too cheap. I mean, both of them, I mean, even A.J. Mm-hmm. Brown himself, I mean, A.J.'s, you know, he's at, what, $6,800 or $6,600. That's you're generally never going to get him that cheap. But I think of the two, I will take the cheaper option and go with Devonta Smith at $5,600. I think T. Higgins is a phenomenal play, too, at $6,100 against the Jags. You know, last year, there for a while, like, he was leading the team in first-read target share last year. And, you know, they didn't really need to throw the ball as much against the Browns. But I think this is a great, you know, pop-off spot here for him at $6,100. Incredibly too cheap for him. George Pickens, really like him, $5,800. We didn't really get to see it against the Eagles, like we kind of talked about after that rain delay. Both offenses just looked terrible and stagnant after that. But in this spot here against the Giants, I think that he can definitely, you know, they could pay off his salary at $5,800. One we're going to have to monitor, I know you brought up Hollywood Brown, but Xavier Worthy practiced today. And so yeah. I know they're going to have him in a brace. And it sounds like if he's out there practicing, like, I was kind of surprised. I think he probably plays in this. Now, maybe it's limited. We don't really know. But it could also just help you just play Hollywood Brown because he's cheap and people are going to move off of him because, you know, Xavier Worthy's going to be out there. And if it's some sort of a limited role, then maybe Hollywood Brown just becomes a little bit smarter of a play where he probably would have been really popular had Xavier Worthy been out. And so if you can get him at that price at a lower ownership, I think that, you know, he's somebody to look at. Ricky Pearsall, there's going to be no argument for me. The dude was an absolute baller last week. And then just now there's nobody else to really throw the ball to. I just think that, you know, at his cost, like, he's really cheap. And the other the guy I want to – JSN, I want to talk about him really quick.
Yeah.
He was fucking ridiculous last week. The usage he saw, and it is only one game, but regardless of that, like, he was absolutely force-fed targets last week. Had a 59% target share last week. 59%, 13 targets. He is going to be the focal point of the offense. He didn't score a touchdown, but he had 9 for 124 here in this spot. And so it is clear that he is Sam Darnold's 100% favorite target. So JSN at 6K on a full PPR site feels like we're stealing here, but I will be interested to see what his ownership is, you know, in this spot, because that is just way too cheap. I also like Ted McMillan in a spot here against Arizona inside the dome. I know the Panthers offense did not look very good at all last week, but I do think that they're in line for a little bit of a bounce back spot here. Ted McMillan, also very cheap at $5,400. So I think he's in play. Now, in terms of, like, cheap wide receivers, like, under 5K, like, I was kind of, like, looking at some of these dudes. Like, Calvin Austin had a little bit bigger role. And I know, you know, you're a Steelers guy, so maybe you could. But, like, he always feels, like, super. Like, I feel like he has a game like this every year where a couple games where he kind of pops off and then he goes back to being Calvin Austin. But he was the number 2 wide receiver here. Aaron Rodgers, quarterback. You know, he's $4,700, but, you know, I guess, like, if you wanted to talk about him, but I do think Calvin Ridley, who had to go up against Pat Surtain last week, which is the worst matchup he possibly could get. But I also thought Cam Ward looked really good in spots last week. And you kind of see why they took him as the number one, why he was the number one quarterback, and why he was the number one pick, overall pick. But Calvin Ridley, $4,900. I think that is a spot that we could get into there as well. And then you kind of have the Browns guys that I'm like, you know, like Cedric Tillman's $4,300. But I don't really love it against Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. I'm here. I'm with you. I think, yeah, I mean, I can't play them solo. I think if you're playing a game stack, I'd probably go Tillman over Jeudy. You get a $1,000 discount there. And he's just been so consistent. I know the quarterbacks have changed from, you know, Jameson to Flacco now, but like Tillman has been so consistent since, you know, being in a full-time role at the Browns wide receiver group. And we've seen the roller coaster ride that could come with Jerry Jeudy. You know, I think a lot of people were excited about, you know, his potential and things of that nature, because he's the perfect best ball receiver, right? Like his boom weeks are just incredible, but like he can go out there and have some real, real duds for you that make it tough. So I think with that $1,000 savings, I'd much rather go to Tillman. I think Tillman's a stud and love him as a player. I love that you brought up the Worthy thing, because that's kind of a new development or a late development this week, and he could definitely, you know, suit up, but then also be limited. And if he takes ownership off of Hollywood Brown, that could really make me like Hollywood a lot more. But yeah, man, I think it's really fun again to just try and condense this pool for me, and really stick to like game stacks. To get exposure to some of these guys and hope that those games pop off. I mean, we see it year after year, Kev, you know, with these, like some of these guys, yeah, like a Puka Nacua, he can just go out there and drop 30, and like, you don't need him. You don't need a game stack or anything like that because of how he plays. But some of these game stacks, you know, we're going to have guys that just go off. And when you get all the equity, it's just, you don't have to get a ton of things right. You just get that one game and you could be off to the races. So I do like that Detroit New York Giants game. Didn't talk about Malik Nabers all that much, but I do love him in a game stack there. I do like that Cincinnati Jacksonville game. I'm probably going to be talking myself into that Miami New England game, so I'll probably have exposure to pieces there. And then the Detroit and Bears game, I think, could really have some fireworks. So that'll be fun. Let's talk about tight end, Kev. Tight
ends, I want to say really quickly, I just want one more guy. Two more, really quickly. One, you mentioned the Patriots, and that's why I want to bring it up. Kayshon Boutte, I think, is kind of an interesting play at $4,500. He is their. He's also they utilize him as their deep threat. He had 8 targets last week. So, if you go back to even last season, he had 3 games last year, and the final 3 weeks of the season, and 2 of those weeks, he scored over 15 DK points in both of those games. And then this week he comes out again and scores another 15. I think it's certainly something where he could be the number one wide receiver right now for this offense that has a real rapport with Drake May. And the other one is a super cheap guy, but I don't think we need to get here because of how pricing is this week. But Elik Aiemaner with the Titans saw 7 targets all preseason. There was mm-hmm. quite a bit of a drumbeat coming from Titans camp and this rapport that he has with Cam Ward. And then we kind of saw it in the preseason. Like, he was targeted. I think he had like a 47% target share with Cam Ward in the preseason. Now, very limited sample size, but still, I will just say that. Like, he's also somebody that, like, if you're kind of desperate, you're kind of, you know, putting together a lineup and you're short on money, that, like, Aiemaner could be also another guy you could take a look at. But it's probably too thin on a week like this. So, anyways, go ahead and move over to tight end.
No, yeah, I like it. He's a guy that I've, you know, dynasty drafts and things like that I definitely kept my eye on, because, you know, he comes in with a rookie quarterback, being a rookie himself, obviously, and you just, you know, you kind of keep an eye on things like that. So I'm be curious to see how the year progresses for him. Probably a guy to keep our eyes on as the pricing gets tighter through the year, especially if Cam's going to be playing the way that he did in week one. tight end Kev is going to be interesting because, you know, you got Trey McBride up at the top, who I think people will click on just because it's Trey McBride. Trey McBride, he's going against the Carolina Panthers, who are just a sieve when it comes to tight end production, and you can just take it there. And then, you know, we have the cheap tight ends of Jawan Johnson and Harold Fannin Jr., who are popular redraft pickups this week. People are spending their fabs to go get the work from these guys. And, you know, it's a tale as old as time. You know, cheap tight ends where you can find them, they just help build, you know, they help open up things for you game stack wise. They help open things up for you when you're building your lineups to be able to fit the studs in. And I just feel like people will be clicking on these cheap 3K names, and it's tight end. So I don't blame them. I still think that there's merit to, you know, pairing that tight end with your quarterback where you can. Sometimes it could feel thin, like a Dalton Kincaid with Josh Allen. You know, if he's not scoring that touchdown, it makes it tough. But, you know, on especially in game stacks, it can really, you know, pay dividends. Shout out to, you know, a guy like Tucker Kraft tonight in Thursday Night Football, who, you know, goes out and breaks the showdown slate because of the work that he's seen. Tyler Warren, though, you know, he's this rookie. It was all talked about it going to Indy, and, you know, Indy has some guys there, you know, with Pittman and, you know, Alec Pierce and Josh Downs and things like that. But you saw that he came in and made his impact known right away. So at 4,500, I think he's a good leverage play, you know, right in between there, you know, of what you have to do to pay up and then pay down. So I'm interested in him. And then, to be honest, Kev, like, if I'm playing that Baltimore Cleveland game, or even not, like, Njoku's still at 4,400, like, when everybody's talking about Harold Fannin, like, I still just need to see Njoku be dead, I think, before I'm willing to write him off. And, like, if things break differently, like, what if it's Njoku instead of Harold Fannin? And, like, all you have to do is just find $1,000 more, right? Or what is it, like a 1,300 maybe, to get to him. I think I could find that on a week like this week, to be able to get leverage off of that when he was the chalk tight end of a week before. This is the, you know, overreaction week that we see is tale as old as time. So I really do like potentially getting some leverage on him. You know, and then Jawan Johnson, I think, you know, yeah, 3,600, I think he's fine. Like, if I'm different everywhere else and need a cheap tight end, I'll be willing to play him, especially over Harold Fannin when there's not somebody else there. I mean, Jawan Johnson, like, might be just the dude there. They don't have any other tight ends that are healthy and signing guys, you know, off of the street to be able to come in and play. So I think that's interesting. So, yeah, I mean, I'll probably look to, you know, go cheap tight end or cheap-ish in the 4K or 3K range. Right now, Njoku's my favorite leverage play, but I do like Tyler Warren, and I'll probably get Jawan Johnson to play. It's tough to play Trey McBride outside of a game stack there at 6K with the way the rest of the pricing breaks down. But yeah, Kev, you, whenever you're ready, just, you know, talk to the people and let them know where your head's at, because for me, I think it's pretty straightforward at the tight end position this week.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Warren in short order, he's going to be up there among the top three or four tight ends in pricing. He is incredible. Targeted 9 times last week, 76 yards. Now, this is a much tougher matchup against the Broncos now. Obviously much different than playing the Dolphins, but I still think that he is going to be somebody that they look to quite heavy and often. When it comes to the Njoku versus the Fannin stuff, one, the positive for Harold Fannin is that the Browns run a heavy 12 personnel, and they always kind of have. And so this is going to allow Harold Fannin to be on the field quite a bit. Now, as of last week, he ran 29 routes to 39 for David Njoku. But one other thing is that David Njoku only had an 8% first-read target share, where – Harold Fannin had a 21.7% first read target share, which was top 5 among all tight ends last week. So they were clearly scheming stuff up for him. So I think that is definitely a positive for Harold Fannin. But I will say, I mean, David Njoku is still the starting tight end for this team. Like, and David Njoku is still very good. And he just didn't see the necessarily the same amount of targets and workload that Harold Fannin did. But Njoku is definitely somebody that you can still play. And I think people are going to overvalue Fannin a little bit this week. I also think Sam Laporta, I think, is in play for sure. Looked much better than he did last year. He's 4,700. I think that's some of the cheaper tight ends, Jake Ferguson at 3,800. I think Juwan Johnson, like you already mentioned, but Brenton Strange as well, four targets. But he was definitely because the same thing happened in that game that happened in the Philly game where we had the rain delay in the second half. But before that, like early in the game, whenever they were the first drive, Brenton Strange was actually targeted, had three targets on that first drive. The Jaguars were able to pretty much manhandle the Panthers. It didn't really have to throw the ball as much. But Brenton Strange at this spot, this price is still incredibly too cheap. Whether you want to put him into a game stack with his Bengals, whether you go Burrow and Chase, Burrow and Higgins, and then looking for a run back option, I don't mind to get a little bit different. I think most people would go Brian Thomas, but going Brenton Strange in a matchup against the Bengals, who we're not worried about the Bengals defense, especially their secondary, and so I do like Brenton Strange as well as a little bit cheaper option at $3,600. So I don't think there's a big need to go below that. Like maybe Chigakonkwo, if you wanted to, at saw four targets last week against the Broncos, but Chig is always in play. But I guess we need to talk about Jake Tanjays because because with George Kittle out, like he was the guy that stepped in there. He ran I think it was 15 routes. Once George Kittle left that game, he saw three receptions, 15 yards, actually scored the game-winning touchdown. But they did price him up a little bit. Like he's not like he's a bare minimum of $2,500 tight end. He's $3,200. So, but considering there's nobody else to throw the ball to, like it wouldn't shock me if somebody like him got four or five targets in this game.
It feels thin to me. I need to see a little bit more before I start going there. Outside of, I guess, a game stack. I mean, if I really wanted to get crazy, I'm just trying to fit in. What would be a game stack here with those two, him and Mac Jones and then Christian McCaffrey.
The crazy part, though, is that Harold Fannin is cheaper than Jake Tanjays is. Like, what are we doing? Like how did Fannin only get as a $3,100 who had nine targets last week, and then Tanjays is actually more expensive at $3,200.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, I might have to let other people play Tanjays this week, and let's see what the San Fran offense looks like without Kittle missing. But yeah, I mean if you play the four of them with Mac Jones, Pearsall, and Christian McCaffrey, Jake Tanjays, you're left with 6,000. Remaining and not including whatever you pay for defense for two wide receivers or running back in a flex, so that could be interesting for sure. I might play a team like that in a big field tournament just because, but in single entry and three max I probably will stay away from Tanjays, but I get it for sure. And this is the thing, right? This is what I was talking about. Like, there's so many plays like this where, it's week two. Like, I don't know that we necessarily need to go hunting for stuff like that quite yet. But if this were week nine, these guys would be, they'd have so much more ownership. I was trying to see if I could even find projected ownership on Tanjays. Kelsey, I've seen in a couple spots, be viewed as, at this point, at least in the week, getting some ownership. What are your takes on that as of right now? I mean, obviously, if we get Worthy in or active, that'll change things a little bit. But I think people have a conundrum on how to play Kansas City going forward. So maybe that's leading to Kelsey getting ownership.
I mean, I there's some concern with how he was only targeted four times last week. Against the Chargers. And, Xavier Worthy got knocked out very early in that. Right the first drive of the game. And he still only had a 10% target share for a team that threw the ball 41 times, two catches. He was wide open and scored that touchdown. So that, made his week look a lot better than what it was. but a 13% first read target share is also concerning. Now, I will say, you know, with the Chargers, you know, they do have why is his name escaping me? Their safety they have. He always seems to do a really good job against Travis Kelce. So I don't want to put too much into it, but I will say, I think if Xavier Worthy plays, I think I'm not as excited about playing Travis Kelce here in this spot, but like, I don't hate it, but like, I just feel like there's better plays because he is 5K. Like, it'd be different, I think, if he was much cheaper than what he is. Like, he's the second most expensive tight end on the slate. I would rather just probably play Laporta. I'd probably rather bet on a Mark Andrews bounce back against Cleveland, or go down to one of the cheaper tight ends.
Yeah, that's fair. Derwin James, I believe, is who you were thinking.
Yep, there you go, Derwin James. I don't know why I couldn't think of his name.
Yeah. I guess he's forgettable to those KC fans out there, so. I think tight end's fine. The one other name, Kevin, I don't think we touched on was Jake Ferguson at 3,800, because I wrote down Dak, and so I probably will have some Jake Ferguson exposure for sure in that matchup. He seems to be, you know, back into a consistent role for this offense, and we'll see if he can stay healthy for the full year. But yeah, I'll definitely have some exposure to him on Dak teams. Let's talk about defense as we round this up. Guys, you're listening to the week two picks for the DGEN Nation podcast. We appreciate you guys tuning in as we hit that hour mark and get ready to wrap this up, build our lineup as we usually do, and help you guys build some lineups there. Shout out to everybody who's been listening along this far. Defense is always a fun one because, you know, last week I felt like not a lot of people knew what to necessarily do. So it was the salaries loose, so we can find ways to get to Denver, who was, you know, in a lot of projection models as the top one, and just kind of force feeding those to you. So now that we have week two, we got another, you know, situation where, you got Ravens at the top. They're going against Cleveland. I mean, yeah, sure. 3,700 maybe, but like it's Baltimore. Like, they can still give up points. You got San Fran against New Orleans. I don't know if I really want to go there for 3,600. And the Broncos, who play Indy, who, you know, ironically are, you know, priced down. It's an Indy matchup. It's indoors, but the way that Danny Dimes played, you know, people could get off of that. I'm willing to go back to the Broncos again. I mean, this is just not – the Broncos are not the Dolphins. For them to see a price decrease, even with it being at home, just because of how explosive Indy was, like, I'm willing to go back there if I was willing to pay up. But I think there are some interesting spots to, you know, pay down for this week. You can honestly go with the Colts defense in that same game at 2,600 only. Bo Nix looked like a little scattered in that first game. And, you know, this defense was making some opportunistic plays against the Miami Dolphins. So I could be, you know, talked into them. I think even if you wanted to, you know, maybe play the Patriots or Dolphins, I mean, the Dolphins are kind of broken. I don't know why they're priced at 2,900. But the Patriots are interesting if you really think this Miami team is a dumpster fire and can't get anything going. I think I could play them at 2,800. You know, defense is one that I kind of just like to see where my lineups build, and then, you know, I'll play around and talk myself into some things. But where are you looking at for defense this week, Kev, as we start to build early lineups?
I mean, do you just automatically just go and play the Saints at $2,500? I mean, you know, I mean, I know it's Mac Jones, but, like, you know, it's not like Mac Jones can't have a bad game. And the Saints defense actually wasn't terrible last week against the Cardinals, a little bit better than what I thought. They actually had 5 sacks in that game. And so, you know, and I will say, I mean, at times, the 49ers offensive line did not look great last week at all. And so, like, the Saints defense at 2,500. Now, I'm going to bet that they're going to be pretty high on in terms of ownership this week, just because of how cheap they are. And, you know, now when you have Mac Jones at quarterback, I think it changes a lot. No George Kittle. And so I do think that they're going to probably carry some pretty heavy ownership down below. I also think the Patriots are a defense that we could look at $2,800. You know, last week, the Miami Dolphins were dreadful. Their offensive line is absolutely cheeks. They allowed a pressure on 10% of dropback, which was ninth worst among all offenses last week. And they also turned the ball over on 42% of offensive drives, which fucking wild last week. But so the Patriots are, I think, our defense we can look at. The Rams, $3,100. The Titans did a lot this offseason to improve their offensive line with getting, you know, Kevin Zeitler and Dan Moore from the Steelers, but got Lloyd Cushenberry back. But they still allowed six sacks last week and had the allowed the highest pressure rate. Now, that was against the Broncos, but still the Rams last week were top 10 in pressure rate and had three sacks against the Texans. So I think the Rams at $3,100 is also a really strong play.
Yeah, I like that Rams call a lot. In Tennessee, I think I could probably get behind that. I mean, the Steelers 3,100 too against Seattle. You know, if we can get Sam Darnold to make some mistakes there and then make it some pressures, I think it's fun. But yeah, in the 2K range when you're playing around with it, I mean, I don't think we saw a defensive touchdown or special teams touchdown in that first week one slate, maybe on the main slate, at least. I know that we had the Bears pick six on Monday night, but yeah, I don't think we had any defensive score, which was interesting. So, you know, you're looking for, you're hunting for that score and teams to, you know, really be able to rack up points in bunches. It's not so much about the points allowed necessarily, but if they can, you know, rack up these sacks and force turnovers, that, that always pays off dividends. Kev, week two. Week two is upon us. We were able to get through the pod, just me and you. I can't remember last time we did a two man pod, but you know, always good and good to get the DJ Nation fans something on their podcast streams as they were looking for week one and wondering where things were. And we're here now. We got week two in the books, and we'll be trying to get consistency for you guys all season long. But in typical DJ Nation fashion, we are not going to sign off on this podcast until we build a lineup that we're going to put into the Millie as soon as I am able to open it up here. Kev, why don't you start us off, man? How are we building this lineup?
Yeah, I said he's almost a lock button for me, so let's just put Christian McCaffrey in right out the gate.
Love it right off the gate. We're getting into the, here it is, the $20 Millie Maker. So we'll put Christian McCaffrey in. You know what? Let's just keep it simple and like put in Ricky Pearsall. Like he's gonna pop too. Concentrated offense there. Let's see what we do.
All right, I don't hate it. Let's go and let's go Justin Fields.
Okay. So Justin Fields, Christian McCaffrey, Ricky Pearsall leaves you 52-50 per position.
Actually, no, switch that. Never mind. I had to change heart. I'm going to go Joe Burrow, $6,600.
Okay, there we go. $5,100 per position that's left. I'm going to get interesting, and let's pair him with Chase Brown, too, $6,800.
I think we can pull this off. Go T.
All right. We'll put Higgins in there. 6,100. Yeah, I mean, if we're full stacking it, we're going BTJ as well. So at least 3,600 for tight end flex and defense. I'm just going to go ahead and throw in the Saints here since Maddie's not here. And it's two positions left. So 4,250, 8,500 total salary left for two positions.
All Should we just pull on game stack it and go Brendan Strange?
And then if we go Brendan Strange,
he's $4,900.
Do we just play Chris Olave?
That's exactly what I was going to play.
I mean, like, we could play Shahid, I guess, and up the Saints because we have Christian McCaffrey and Pearsall. So playing Saints D, I don't know if we necessarily want to do that. If we play,
I mean, Olave was, I mean, he was targeted 12 times last week.
He was, but I mean, Shahid was like targeted what, 9 times?
Yeah, I mean, they threw the ball like 40 some times.
So if we did that, we could get to like Patriots D, Dolphins D, Chiefs D. Like, it does give us more options at defense. We could go Indy, Bengals D against Jacksonville. I'd be fine to do Shahid and Patriots over Olave and Saints. Leave 100.
How much is Shahid? 45?
Shahid's 45, yeah.
I mean, we could also, if we don't want to go with another Saint, if we don't go with the Saints, that fits right in with the old Kayshon Booty, who's 45. I'm cool either way. You make a decision. Whatever one you want to do. You want to do Shahid, we can do Shahid. If you want to do Kayshon, we can do that too.
Let's do Shahid. Let's do Shahid. Because we have two San Fran pieces there. So I want a Saint piece to carry it. So right now we got Shahid and Patriots. If we're filling Olave, we could play around with that. But as of right now, how it stands for the Millie team, DGen Nation Pod, week 2, we got Joe Burrow at quarterback, Christian McCaffrey and Chase Brown as our running backs, Ricky Pearsall, T. Higgins, Brian Thomas Jr. in the wide receiver positions, Brenton Strange at tight end, Shahid in the flex, Rashid Shahid in the flex, that is, and then Patriots D, 100 left on the table. This is entered into the $20 Millie Maker. Can't wait to share the lineup with the people in the Discord. If you want to get in the Discord, see that link in the description. We'd be happy to have you along with that. Kev, week 2 is in the books, man. How you feeling? Any final words for the people?
I think it's going to be a better week than it was last week. Can't be any worse, I don't think. So I am looking forward to this week. Happy to get some information and stuff to go off of. But yes, I think this week sets up to be a little bit better than what it was last week. So I like some of these spots, like some of these environments here. And, you know, I like our game stack that we put together. You know, it makes it a lot easier because, you know, you have to get a lot less right. If this Jacksonville-Cincinnati game goes off, then you don't need as much to go right for you everywhere else. Now, you know, because we're playing, what, 5 players from that game, you know, you only need 3 or 4 other guys to hit versus, you know, whenever you're right, trying to put together much smaller. So it makes it a lot easier. If you really feel confident about a game and you're in love with the game, you know, game stacking, it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, not only that, but like we have the Joe Burrow stack without Jamar Chase. Like, how many people are going to be doing that? I mean, it is a Millie, so the Millie Makers. So when you're talking about, you know, however many 100,000 teams that are in there, sure, there might be some, but like, in grand scheme of things, like, people clicking Joe Burrow, you're clicking your Jamar Chase and Jamar Chase and Higgins potentially. So we just have that Higgins and Chase Brown for leverage. This should be fun. Yeah, I like the way that this team came together, and it's going to be fun, DGen Nation. We're going to be sharing these teams with you as we do all season long. And we want you guys rocking with us all season long against the DGen Nation podcast, powered by the Fantasy Authority. You can follow us on the Fantasy Authority on Twitter and X at @FF_Authority. Kevin Steele is on Twitter. He's the godfather of the Fantasy Authority. You can find him on Twitter at FantasyRad13. Myself, Ryan Williams, you can find me on Twitter and X at RyanAlexander_W. We're happy to be back on the airwaves. We're happy to be back in your podcast streams. We're happy to be back in your DFS lives. DGen Nation podcast is here yet again. and we're out here to get this money. We'll see you guys in the winter streets. Until then, peace. You can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. But you better get used to the way the war bounces. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Think you're a big man. You like your little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.